Chapter number 9. Hardy's Pessimism. Hardy's novel presents a gloomy view of life, but Hardy was consciously trying to convince his readers that he was not trying to give a gloomy view. But as Albert Elliot also remarks, in Hardy's novels, it appears certain that he was not conscious of the extent to which his interpretation of life and its problems was leading him into the field of pessimism. Hardy's faith in determinism makes him a pessimist who sees no glory in life, little scope for happiness and perfection, man struggling in vain against an unsympathetic nature and adverse circumstances. His temperament is also responsible for this view of life. He is by nature vocal to tragedy rather than to joy. He is apt to visualize men and women as snatching at happiness, striving to express and fulfill themselves, but only breaking themselves against power that takes no heed of them. His historical contemplation of Wessex and its people is partly responsible for this gloomy view. The world is very old and the life of man is very brief. The Romans used to drink and talk at Casterbridge as men do today over Egdon health. The generations of men pass keyslessly and leave no trace. The significance of man and the briefness of the life are always present in Hardy's mind. Hardy is an artist, creates in his novels an imaginative world, expressing the real world as he sees. He sees in his world a bitter struggle for existence among men and among beasts and birds, plants and trees. He is keenly alive to the thwarted desires, unsatisfied longings, undeserved sufferings, conflict of duties, broken commandments, disappointments and disillusionment, high and noble aspirations ending in miserable. It is in tests of the de upervilis of the hardest noble that is his gloomy view of the world is more striking expressed. Referring to the numerous of children of the poor and feckless Derbyfields, Hardy complains that children are born where they are not wanted. On the other hand, children are forced into the world without their having been asked if they wished for life or any terms, much less if they wished for it or any such hard conditions were involved in being of the selfless house of Derbyfield. They are described as passengers in the Derbyfield ship, as little captives under hatches, compelled to sail wherever the Derbyfield household choose to sail, into difficulty, disaster, starvation, disease, degradation or death. Hardy turns towards Wordsworth and demands to know whence the poet derived his authority for speaking of nature wholly pain. The government of the world appears to Hardy as an ill-judged execution of the well-judged plan of things. For the man to love rarely coincides with the hour of loving. There is perpetual hide and seek between man and nature till life becomes an irksome, outworn game. Man and woman wander about earth like two halves of a perfect whole, each waiting in cross obtusenses for missing counterpart, and out of this maladroit sprang anxieties, disappointments, cast off foes, and passing strange destinies. Hardy wonders if man will ever develop a finer intention and a closer interaction of the social machinery than exist at present. Commenting upon the knowledge gained by the test, though better experience, Hardy says, at last she learned what to do, but who would now accept her doing? Experience teaches us truth, but at the same time incapacitates us for acting upon them. What an irony is there. We do not realize the whole truth of the golden opinion while it is possible to profit by them. Knowledge comes too late. We are told how to live rightly but are not permitted to do so. All happiness lies in the distance. Commenting upon the periodical migration of the families of agricultural laborers, Hardy says the Egypt of one family was the land of promise to the family who saw it from a distance still by residence. It became in turn their Egypt also. There is a morbidness in the sentiment that the day of our death lies sly and unseen among the others. Days of the year giving no sign or sound when we annually pass over it, but not the less surely there. Hardy winds up the story of Tess with the remark of the life is a sport of the gods with mortals. In this, Mayor of Casterbridge, Hardy remarks in one place, life is a brief transit, though a sorry world, and Hardy calls for effusiveness. Happiness is but the occasional episode of a general drama of pain. Again, life and its surroundings are tragical rather than comical, and though one could be gay on occasion, moments of gaiety and interludes and no part of the actual drama. In one comprehensive sentence, Hardy alleges that harshness and cruelty in the very essence of life, no harshness of man's conduct is comparable to the harshness of life. The harshness of the poison towards the temperament of the means, towards the aim of today, towards yesterday, of hereafter, towards today. This is the philosophical pessimism associated with the names of Leopardi and Schopenhauer. S-C-H-O-P, Schop, E-N-H-A-U-E-R, Inhauer.